Well, so fool, we're starting here early because Rodrigo's not here. He's stuck in traffic again. You know, man, he's in an exterminating job, so he probably had to, he was stuck in Inglewood or Linwood or somewhere on the 710 freeway. You know, he had to kill those roaches at people's houses and the roaches inside his truck, the one he smokes when he falls asleep. There he is.
Hey.
What's up, fool? All the way from
Southgate.
What's up, fool?
Southgate.
You were stuck in Southgate?
Dude.
Bro, how come he made it before you then? He was talking. He came from Southgate.
I came from Boyle Heights, so I had a head start.
What's up, fool? Okay, man, let's introduce everybody. We have Rodrigo Torres right here with the Yemens.
Yeah, man. What's cracking, right, everybody?
And we also have another guest. He's from the Living the Dream podcast. He was our guest here when we snuck into Dodger Stadium, and we illegally did our podcast from the Red Reserve. I call it the Red Reserve because when I was a kid, there were red seats. And I don't understand why people sat so high. There was kids, there was gloves. They didn't catch nothing but a cold. All right. That's Beto Duran from Duran Sports. What's up, fool?
What's up, man? Thank you very much. And after that podcast, you inspired me to start my own. And now I'm here with you. I can't believe it. I get to see Rodrigo.
We also do other stuff than podcast. We do weed, bro. We do podcast.
Hell yeah.
I saw the shop. I saw the shop.
So where are you from, man?
Carson.
Carson. All
I
right,
came up there's a lot of traffic. I still beat Rodrigo.
All right, man. So what's up, fool? We also have, we're going to get to him right now, but we have a lot of announcements. We have Mellow Man Ace.
Hey, check this out, baby. Stop being a mentirosa. Still in here.
Man.
You sabe.
I messed that up on Instagram, bro. You weren't a la taza. Because you know I can't rhyme. I can't find the right words to rhyme with. That's why I've never been a rapper. Because Felipe, you know, too many syllables.
Kid MC.
Yo, yeah, Kid MC. What's up? I got a locker full of rhymes and I know them well.
Don't forget that combo, dog.
And this, that was good. That's wrong with Gordas because they like to show and tell.
Old school,
bro.
Little dog.
What's up, fool? We have a couple of shout-outs. Monica and Louis Huerta, their brother and sister. He's in the Army veteran, and she's in the Navy. We got two Latino soldiers out there shooting people. They're big fans, and they're both listening to the podcast every week from their little bunker, wherever they're at, man,
looking for
insurgents. And they told me it helps them feel they're connected because they both listen to it. Also, don't forget, go to FelipeWorld.com where you want to shop for something on Amazon. You know, we don't own Amazon, but you know what? We're like the middleman for Amazon now. You go to our webpage through Amazon, we get 3 cents. Just finished all the episodes of the shop, bro. You were there,
man.
Bro. Looking like a big-ass Mormon. What you do, eat your fucking test meat?
You know what I'm saying? We're sitting here next to sexy bodies, can't look big.
You're the first Mormon I know, but do they go to houses that are uphill? Just finished all the shop, man. Birdman was there. Even though Birdman gave away his punchline weeks ago.
Weeks ago.
This guy had one line. Hey, man, I got a rendering here for Felipe. But he's been hashtagging his name rendering. That's why we can't have too many people.
The dude from San Jose? Birdman?
Yeah.
The cholo from San Jose.
He turned 50-something this week, man. No, December 3rd. 50-something, man.
Half a century.
And actually 30 years living with his mom.
We'll never move
out. It's not his fault, bro. He was locked up in prison, man, and he came out, and his mom was still alive. So you know what? He's going to keep that rent low, bro. They paid like $300 for 4 bedrooms.
Jeez.
Rendering.
The rendering. Rendering. Also, man, check it out. Check out all our 7 episodes of The Shop on YouTube.com/ATC. And find a Felipe Esparza playlist there or search on YouTube for Felipe, The Shop, to find all the episodes. Comment on them if you don't like it. If you hate it, just say something, man.
Or if they want to send you product, right?
Oh, yeah, man. Or these idiots, bro. They want to send us pounds of weed. Like, it's just a show, bro. You understand we did it on green screen?
That was all green screen?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That looked legit. I look legit.
Man, you know,
good.
Man, sometimes, man, you know, you got to take money out of your wallet to get things right, bro.
Either that or Robert Redford, dog.
So what's up, fool, man?
What's
Rude.
Up, fool?
I got something for your ass, bro.
What happened, dog?
When I was doing a show in Fort Lauderdale, there's a guy there with a worser laugh than yours.
Worser.
I'm
just coined the term,
right,
worser.
Let's go to a clip. There he goes. This guy.
Stop tickling him, eh?
That's a person?
Yes.
I thought someone was coming, eh? She's a squirter. He's a squirter.
He don't stop, bro.
Fuck, eh? Está enfermo, eh?
Wow.
Coño, ¿qué está pasando?
I'm sorry, bro. I kill him in Fort Lauderdale.
Is that a white dude?
He don't stop.
All the way back to Kansas.
No, that's not real.
Why? Well, you know, I keep going. This fool was like, and it's sad because, you know, the more I kept doing it, a lot of times, like, he didn't do that laugh no more. I thought, man, I must be sucking now. That laugh became the fucking laugh meter, bro.
Was he close to you?
He was, like, far, bro, like, two rows down. He was there with his lady, with his old, his wife, and then, like, they were laughing at his stupid laugh, bro.
They were laughing at his laugh.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And then that kind of laugh should just sit outside, bro, like in a loony bin somewhere, bro.
Now I'm trying to listen to his laugh.
Oh, it'll come out.
It'll come out, bro. So what's up, fool? Enough of that, bro. What's up, Rodrigo? Look at you gaining weight, huh?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Come on, fool.
More of the heftones, eh? Heftones. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm just bragging, bro, because I'm down to 270.
Don't be lying, dog.
It's that why, right?
270, bro. Just drinking it on pool water.
Yeah, swimming with those Armenians.
Hey, now that you're rich, what are you doing? You're doing the staples? The staples, stomach stapling shit?
I wish, bro. I ain't that big, right, bro? You could do that?
Yeah man. No, you're, remember Big Boy from Power?
Oh, yeah.
Power 106?
You're not big
he
enough.
Did it when he was over there.
That fool took out a whole body and a career.
Al Roker from Channel 4.
Al Roker, another one, huh? Nah, bro, man.
I'm
from the hood, bro. The only time we get our stomach staple, we get shot with a shotgun.
Eternal bleeding, dog.
You ever see the fool at Gangland? They shot me here, they shot me here, they shot me there. Then you go to like another channel, like A&E. What happened? Well, I graduated from Harvard here. What's up, fool? We have our guest, Mellow Man Ace. What's up, fool?
Orale. What's up, nomás, doggy? Just chilling, tranqui chilling.
Now, I really want to ask you, guess if it die.
Would I die?
And please, por favor, tell me la verdad. Because I really need to know, yeah, necesito entender. If you're gonna be a player or be my mujer. Because right now, you're just a liar, a straight mentiroso. Today, you tell me something, y mañana otra cosa.
With the homie, I haven't seen you since probably your days over there at the Improv.
Yes.
You know, coming up on the come up. And I'd go check you out and go hang out with you and Kid from Kid and Play.
Yes.
Django and all those guys, man.
And we did that show over there in West Covina.
That's right.
I don't even know that place was, but I know it was crazy, bro.
Margarita Jones?
No.
That was a spot.
Like a Cowboy Stallion place.
Cowboy
You're
Stallion in West Covina.
You're a nut, man. I was,
anyways, at that, it was Wild Girls or Wild Horse?
Yeah, the 60?
Yes.
Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse.
Yeah. Used to be at Nationals right by there.
Well, that place, dog. We just did the comedy show, and Mellow Manet was gonna be there at the after the show to do his thing. I think he was doing like special appearance, dropping at different places like Paris Hilton. They're saying hello, getting a check, and then going to another club, get another check.
I sure was.
Hosted by.
They're whoring him, bro.
Hey,
he was going to every club. Getting an envelope, bro, like Cubans do it, you know, on the side. So
he ain't lying either.
So, but this weird, like, he showed up at we're doing our show and he was dying, right? Over there, a little table service next to Joy Medina, you know, cheerleading comedian. And Medina was all up on him, bro, like, hey, man, how you guys doing?
It's the movie.
Hey, man, I got a movie, man. It's called Zombies. I need rappers. Anyway, so this fool, the show ended. This is how crazy the show ended, bro. Let me tell you, man. As soon as the show ended, if you were there from the comedy show and you had tennis shoes, you need to get the fuck out. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that you were at the comedy show, but no. We have a dress code after the comedy show. That means if you have tennis shoes, you need to get the fuck out of here.
You need Stacey Adams or what?
No, bro. I had my Nike Cortex.
Nah. You gotta go.
They had me tell me, bro, I know, man, you're wearing Dockers, but a lot of cholos wear Dockers now, too, so you gotta go. So the dress code was crazy, bro.
Then like, I said, I
was in
right?
a comedy show, though, bro. I know, man, but that was a comedy show. Now it's a club. And we can't have guys walk like you walk around with tennis shoes.
And meanwhile, here I come with my sneakers and my hat and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, but you had an envelope
about Mellow Mayonnaise, eh?
I know, man. I was looking for a fucking a crate of records to pick up, you know. I said, man, I was a DJ, bro. Because you know the DJ always shows up with five fools back there holding yep. crates.
Yeah.
Or a backpack.
I remember, man, I would do comedy shows. You know that place, Casa Latina?
Yeah.
On Rosemead, another sure. spot.
Yeah.
Right there, man, with nothing but big-time ballers, bro. Like, there was a fool that was, they were like, people show up with fucking Land Rovers, Mercedes Benz. I remember one time the fool showed up with his fucking boat and just
what?
Parked it outside.
A Cadillac?
Yeah, bro. It was, no, a boat.
No, well, on the trailer.
His car and his boat behind. So that everybody know, after the show, whoever wants to do cocaine at Lake Lake, let me know.
On the way to Havasu.
For real, bro.
Wow. Wow.
There was a nothing but bottles. So where did you get started at? A lot of people want to know. Like, did you start like with another group or you were by yourself? Because I heard you used to work also at USC.
At USC? A vendor,
as a vendor.
No, you know what? I worked the 84 Olympics at USC and I was just straight up dishwashing, Loke. They had me in the summertime in the hot kitchen, you know? Can I say bad words on the show?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
All right. It was a hot-ass kitchen, bro, you know, feeding the athletes. And I was just cleaning the trastes for those fools. But my last known job, like physical labor, was Dodger Stadium, fool, when we won the World Series.
What's up, fool? I took a Dodger Stadium, too. I know who you used to work with.
Who?
Marty.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my manager.
Yes, he was my manager.
She always tells stories about you and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, yeah, him and Tommy, I think Tommy, that was on Martin, Big Tommy,
yeah,
also
Big Tommy
worked with us before we
guy.
All blew up, yeah.
You guys used to work at USC with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
Because when I was being a comedian, Marty would tell me, no, we had, she used to say your name, but I couldn't pronounce it, and your real name, Apalupala, was it? Apalupa.
What?
Upiano, fool.
Wait,
you're fucking it up.
You don't have a real name.
You're the real name.
No, I don't want to know. I don't want
to
know.
I didn't want to know either. Just to me, we've been Mellow Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Then you meet rappers like Kid and Play. What's his name? Chris?
Oh, Chris? It messes it up for you guys.
Yeah, but you're the real Cubano, bro. We need to hear the real name.
Escape from Havana.
Ulpiano Sergio Reyes.
Yeah,
wow, man. That
Aguirre Riveras, Riveras Gonzalez.
If Joe Diaz was here, because Joe Diaz is a Cuban guy, that's right, cocksucker. That's a fucking real Maranato right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's real. But no, I started rapping, listening to, you know, Curtis Blow, the Mean Machine, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Melly Mel, those guys, you know, Sugar Hill Gang. And now those guys are my OGs, you know, they're my friends and business associates and, you know, it's just been an amazing roller coaster ride. And then I started as a B-boy and then I transitioned to the mic when the 1990 move came out. I couldn't stand upside down on one hand and spin, you know, and then I said, you know, hey, let's go to the mic. And then when I first heard the Mean Machine they did a little Spanish rap part in a record in 1983. It was just a little part. In the song, the rest of the song was English, but it kind of showed me my future. And I said, I'm gonna take that and extend it. And then I'm going to twist it with an English and Spanish. And that's when the whole thing started to bust out. But Southgate, California, bro, you know, Cypress Avenue, Firestone Boulevard, doing those Cuban clubs early on in my career. The Cofradía and the Oguinero really got the home crowd, you know, the home base to support what I was doing. And then I started introducing everybody to Cypress Hill, and they caught on too.
So you were a part of Cypress Hill?
Yeah, actually, I'm probably the founding member.
Oh, you know,
you're on Tres Equis, right?
I did a lot of ghostwriting at that time, you know, for Cypress. You know, on their first album, the classic one, I wrote Real Estate. Half of their whole Spanish album, I wrote that. And Low Rider. You know, so it's a crew, so we would help each other like that. Like Be Real wrote on my first album a song called Tacapella, stuff like that. So we would just do stuff for each other as a crew when we're coming up, you know, everybody helps everybody. And it was a beautiful look.
You say Southgate, you're a B-boy?
Yeah.
I got to say this, man. Did you roll with Handyman?
I didn't know. Handyman, I think, was for more from the Boyle Heights area, no?
Boyle Heights.
El Sereno.
Huntington Park.
Huntington Park,
he was like
yeah.
A, he was like, in, like a handicap fool.
Yeah.
No, for real, you remember Handyman?
No.
He used to, he needed two crutches.
Yeah.
And he used to break down with two crutches.
That's
and,
right.
And windmill.
Paralyzed from the waist down, and he would still hit windmills and flares. Yes. Thomas flares on
so he showed
crutches.
Up in a wheelchair?
And fool,
no, he would come out on his crutches.
On his crutches. On his crutches. And then people be like, nah, man, that fool's going to go up against me. I'm going to fuck this fool up. But then that fool straight up Adidas suit, Adidas three stripes, the fucking Kangol hat, the glasses, fucking fools up. Even
fucking
the
you
fools.
Up, yep. He sure did. He lights your ass up.
All up. He's still,
but the thing is, see, he was paralyzed. He was all upper body, but because the lower half of his body was pretty much, you know, limp. Yeah, he could bust, you know, infinite Thomas flares, you know, infinite windmills.
How about the worm?
Motherfucker was a marionette, bro.
He was puppet.
He's an OG and definitely a legend on the West Coast.
What?
There used to be guys that used to come to my neighborhood because I grew up in Pico Gardens, housing projects here in Boyle Heights, Pico Aliso, Aliso Village, right? And there was guys that had cousins in Southgate. These motherfuckers would brag about how great Southgate beat boys were. They were yeah. good. Even this guy who's not there, a guy named Fatty, or they call him Fatty or Fats.
Yeah.
He was like a little kid. This dude is a mean Michael Jackson, bro.
Bro, I saw some B-boys in Southgate. There was this one kid, his name was Toy. He was like a Nicaraguense who just landed in the United States. But he was sick. He was sick as fuck. He really taught us, like, what was really going on. But in my crew, it was myself, B-Real, who's now the lead rapper of Cypress Hill. My homeboy, Gilbert, his name was Sugar Pop. And then the other homie, the light-skinned homie named Popcorn. And these fools, we just go battling, you know. We walk from Southgate Park to Bell Park to Huntington Park, Linwood. Wherever we can get in some shit, we go battle.
Out there by that Tweety.
Oh, yeah, all over.
Tweety, Pacific, all that.
All that.
And
all
then,
that.
Man, you got to be careful when you go battle at Venice Beach because there were a lot of shorelines there.
Ooh.
Looking for red suits.
Yeah, I remember one pedo we got into with some Samoans at Venice Beach, you know, because we came from the inner city, and they were more from, you know, Carson.
That's
and
me.
Banning
that's all my friends.
All that. Yeah,
Banning's red.
They
Carson
didn't like
blue.
It if you were tougher than them, man. They
well,
want to box.
Know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not dancing.
No, there was a lot of dancers at, in the 80s.
And then there was a fight after that.
Yeah, there was exactly. No dancing after that.
Sully, come here. Right?
Yeah. Hey, Oos, fuck these niggas, Oos.
Yep, you know? Right away. No matter what, you play basketball with Samoans, you play football, as soon as the game's over, there's a fight.
Yeah, I was like, somebody's I was like, shooting something.
Junior high, I stopped. I'm like, nope, no more of this. No more lunchtime basketball. That.
Good times, man.
That's funny, man. When you fight Samoans, it's weird because you don't know if you're fighting the mom or the dad or the little brother because they're all the same size.
And they all fight at the same time. You fight one, you fight the entire island.
You're going to fight all of us.
Yes.
That's why when I got older, I made good homies with the Booyah tribe.
Heck yeah.
You know what I mean? They had my back through the early part of the business, man. They'll shake anybody down, you know, and they were amazing musicians. So.
Man, imagine, man. That's what comedy needs, bro. They didn't fool us as Samoan brothers to go after these goddamn promoters for those $50, bro.
Hell yeah.
They would shake fools down, huh?
Yeah.
Upside
yeah.
down.
I mean, Booyah Tribe, you know, they were all relatives, and they all performed. Played guitar, drums, bass, keyboards, and you wouldn't expect that. And then you had the twins, Ika and his twin brother. And they would be the pop lockers in the group, and they come all trenzad out, huge as fuck. Like, and then you thought, oh, some shit's gonna go down. Then they pick up instruments, and
ukulele,
start fucking
usually.
It up, yeah, on some funk shit. And
I thought they were gonna choke me, but they put a lay on me.
Yeah.
Hey man, it's good brothers to have on your team, man.
Yeah, right,
no
that's
doubt.
Security right there.
Yeah, yeah. Big Gangsta Red, shout out to him. Godfather, you know, the twins, Ika, and then Roscoe. Much love to them brothers, man.
So what was your biggest break when you said, what was it like to hear your stuff on the radio? Because I never heard my stuff on the radio. I heard my stuff on other comics, but.
Yeah, you're on TV, man.
It's different.
For me, There was two, but I'll tell you the one that was the most important of the two. I had just put out the Mas Pingong single, and we were, you know, just basically doing promo, giving it away at Lake Lake and Whittier Narrows Park and all that. And I got a call to do a show in San Diego College with, at the time, it was Tone Loke, Young MC, myself, and a guy from New York by the name of T. LaRock, who's a super OG. At that time, he had Nice and Smooth as his dancers, right? So we all go down there thinking that, you know, we're going to kill this shit. Mind you, it's like 1988, 87. So we all go like, yeah, we're going to fucking tear this shit up. It's going to be bitches galore. We're going to fuck it up. Man, we get there, dog, to the show. It was 10 people in that motherfucker. And it was a big-ass hall, okay? Now, these are the humble beginnings, you know? So turns out that one of the 10 people that was there was an A&R man from Capitol Records by the name of Kenny Ortiz. And, you know, my mom always taught me and my brother, like, if there's one person or 1,000, go 100%. And we did that night. And after my set, the guy from Capitol hands me up in the corner. He's like, hey, man, you know, hi, here's my business card. I'm Kenny Ortiz from Capitol Records. We want to sign you. And I'm like, I'm already signed at Delicious Vinyl. He goes, don't even worry about it. We'll buy out the contract. He said, call us on Monday or have your lawyer call us. And we did. Next thing you know, we're signing to a major label, you know, which was big for a little nigga from Southgate, you know what I mean? And okay. And we started to put this Latino thing on the map.
Nobody was doing that yet back then, huh?
No, the only ones that I heard, and I've heard now come, you know, everybody wants to come out of the woodwork. But
I was there first,
There was groups in New York at that time that I've seen videos on YouTube or whatever, you know. But nobody had the time and presence I had, you know what I mean? Like, I was at the right place at the right time. I always give it up to the ones that came before me, like the Mean Machine. That rapper's name is Mr. Schick. Look him up. Influential brother in terms of Latinos. But when it came down to really putting it down on a global scale, Mellow Man Ace is your boy.
Like, yeah. Early 90s?
1989, right?
The album came out in 89. And August the 30. Single of Mentiroso dropped in 90. So we're looking at 25 years of a classic right now, thanks to the gente.
And the title of that record was Escape from Havana?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. First Latino to go gold in Mexico and in the United States. Broke a lot of ground.
Mexicans liked you?
Absolutely, bro. Right.
Dude, I remember everybody was bumping that shit. Again, it's a relation to finally somebody in Spanish representing and fucking you. It fucking feels good. After that, then fucking Kid Frost came out with this shit.
That's right. I think the most important part of that record, man, is what it was able to accomplish for an entire gente, an entire people. Because not only is it a classic, but it's also opened up a genre in the record store that didn't exist. And we had Latin rap.
You know, it was just weird to hear
really
it.
Cool. A Latin rap section.
Spanish words on the English radio.
We have finally had our own divider, bro, on the record stores.
End cap.
Broke the color barrier with that one.
Where would they go?
We were other. No, they weren't going nowhere.
They were other?
Get them at the swap meet, dog.
Swap meet, yeah.
Yeah.
Or other
swap meet. Swap meet. Slauson swap meet.
Or at Caddy's.
In Mellow Man 8, I was going to ask you, what's your relation to to Soul Assassins? Because I know the whole genesis was Cypress Hill. You been in the Sendog, your brother, or what's?
Sendog is my canal, yeah. Okay. My blood canal.
Your older brother?
He's my older brother. But the thing was that I came out first because he was still kind of bullshitting, and B-Real was, no, the serio pedo, you know? Orale. My story's different than other people, you know?
That's what's up.
But I got my shit together because my dad kicked me out of the pad because I wouldn't hold a job. So even though I was younger, I had to do for myself. I had to make it younger, faster. I had to get to the opportunities. You know, I had to roll all over Hollywood, go to Club King King, and go to the Water the Bush and all this shit where the Zulu Nation would hang out at. And there you can see everybody, you know, NWA before they got their deal. And you can see Africa Bambaataa chilling, Ice-T in the corner with Darlene and all this kind of shit. The whole thing was that I had to do for myself. So what happened was the opportunity opened up where DJ Muggs of Cypress Hill at the time was with a different group called 7A3. And they're from Queens, New York, right? So he goes, one day he came in the hood and he said, hey, man, I got to go to Delicious Vinyl Records to track a song for the movie Colors. And it turned out to be the song called Why, for the lead track for the movie Colors. And he goes, anybody want to roll? And I said, fuck it, I'll go. I go there with him. It was just me and him. He starts working, doing his shit. Walk into Judio's Duetos, Mike and Rick Ross and Matt Dyke and them. And they say, hey, man, we just started up a record company. It's called Delicious Vinyl. We just signed a guy by the name of Young MC and another guy by the name of Tone Low. Can you rap? I'm like, fuck yeah. I can rap in Spanish, motherfucker. He goes, Spanish? We never heard that shit. I said, watch this. I said, cuando llego a la casa, esto es lo que pasa. Empiezo a gozar con toda la raza. The dude was like, wait. Man, you like a Spanish LL Cool J. He said, man, come back tomorrow. We're going to track you. And we see where it goes. Next thing you know, I got a 25, 26-year career out of it.
Wow. Nobody else wanted to go?
Nobody. Like I told you, Sen was bullshitting. Sen, my brother, was more content
They're
pleasing
just
my
time,
dad.
Dog.
You were like, fuck it. I'm
you had
here.
Mad foresight, dog.
Right?
But no, no, no.
I told you,
back
bro,
to the
you
original.
Hung out.
And how did the Soul Assassins come up?
Well, yeah, I was going to get to that. Okay. Sen Dog, my brother, was more content with pleasing my dad, where I was going against, well, going against the grain and saying, fuck work, I'm going to make this shit. I'm going to make it happen. You know? Yeah. And so my brother was like, okay, I'll go to work so my dad stays off my ass. So he worked at Kodak, you know, pulling, you know, film.
Developing and shit.
Be Real was off in the hood in South Central gangbanging at the time. So I was like, I'm going to go for mine right now. And so then, you know, the Paul Rodriguez show, our good friend Paul Rodriguez, was my first professional show on TV. He called. I go do it. And the next thing you know, man, Arsenio Hall comes knocking. Soul Train comes knocking. Even Bob Hope, the legend Bob Hope.
So that cracked off Paul Rodriguez's show?
The Spanish one, right?
Well, I don't know if I was the first artist, but I know that was my first show. You know, on TV that I did. But that's how the whole Soul Assassin thing starts to happen. Because now Sen Dog and Be Real start noticing, like, damn, little brother's up there fucking it up, doing this shit for real. I better stop fucking around. So they were able to go, fuck it. If Mello can do it, so can we. So then what I would do is I'd have them come on stage with me, you know, opening up for Tierra and Malo and all these people and giving them like 5 minutes to freestyle and doing their thing. And next thing you know, they got a record deal too. And then formed the Soul Assassins based off of that.
If you could have easily done like other dudes were like, hey, you weren't there with me. Forget well, no, you. But I get to give you the 5 minutes.
No, no, no. That was my crew and they were there. It
but
just
we've
so
seen
happens
a lot
to
where
be.
Other dudes are like, forget you.
Nah. All I know is that somebody had to go open the doors and it landed on me. But I never turned my back on him. I said, come on, we coming. And even now, when you see that older footage on YouTube of me and on Arsenio Hall or even on Soul Train, you'll see my two sisters, my brother, you know, cool. And all that. So I try to bring in the family element.
Your sister
at an early
album.
Age.
She does a voice, right?
No, she didn't do it. A girl from Southgate named Denise did it, who got cold feet when the Paul Rodriguez show called us.
Oh, what?
Shut
to do
up,
it.
Dog.
She turned down the job. I called my little sister. I said, hey, the girl turns down the job. I think her name was Diane or something. I don't remember the name. Denise. And I said, little sis, can you fill in and do this shit? She's the one you end up seeing in the video, the light-skinned girl.
Yeah.
And we went all over the world with it.
Wow.
Hell yeah, dog.
First time I ever heard that song was I was at the park at basketball practice, and somebody pulls up in a Suzuki Samurai just bumping it. And I'm like, what is that? Like, that's what my reaction was. Like, I was like 12 years old. Like, what is that? Is it English, Spanish? What is it? How are the reactions that you got from other people, though?
Well, I mean, we got so much love. I mean, I was the face now of an entire generation of people.
I thought it was cool.
And the pressure was heavy. You know, sometimes we'd go, concerts would be smooth. Other times there'd be women's groups out with signs picketing, fuck Mellow Mayonnaise.
Yes. No way.
Oh, yeah.
He controversy. Called me a mentirosa.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Wow.
There'd be women's groups, man.
I can't believe crazy. People come out to mentirosa, but now there's bitch hoes and they don't come out.
Yeah.
What happened?
We got old. Keep that brown man down.
What happened? Oh, we realized we could just turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah. They should be at home doing the dishes.
You call me a liar. How dare you?
Then, right.
People don't realize back then they were going after everybody, huh?
Well, that's the whole thing with the Paul Rodriguez show. Lulac got on top of them. There's too many Mexicans in one house and they canceled it.
Is that what happened there? That's terrible.
Yeah, Paul Rodriguez show, a.k.a. Pablo, he got canceled because Lulac and
all these organizations.
National Council of Raza. The only time they get together is to shut down a Latino show.
Shit,
right?
Man.
Or to shut down Taco Bell. Oh, that dog. Well, you know, then that comedian came up with a joke. Well, the Taco Bell dog does say, I love Taco Bell, but he also likes art.
It's true, though, dog.
Wow.
Man. They were coming out like that. Wow, man. That was cool, man. Wow, man. So when you started, you saw Ice-T in one corner over there, and they were all coming up. It's like you don't see that anymore, man. Like,
no, like, you don't.
It's like everybody.
You don't.
It's like somebody. No, it seems like now everybody has a rap song already written somewhere, and they go to a high school. Okay, she's good looking. Bring her over here. She could sell me 5 albums. I could use her for 5 years, and then I go back to the next young person. It's like now they could only rap artists have a span of 5 years now, huh?
Yeah, wow. Big time.
It's like a machine, right?
Well, yeah. Nowadays, I mean, back like when you said just now is back then. I could see Ice-T chilling. You could see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. People like Christian Hosoi and Denzel Washington all hanging out in the club together before we all blew up, right? And then that was the mecca, the Water the Bush place, you know, was the mecca for the record companies and TV and film directors to come and see who was bubbling in that scene and then fish us out one by one. So what happened through time is the scene starts to dwindle as everybody starts to get paid and get money and get work. But there wasn't another class of people to fill those voids, right? When you pull a Ice-T out or when you pull a Dr. Dre and Eazy-E out of something, it loses a lot of steam. I don't want to sell myself short. You pulled Mello Man and Ace out of there. Now we got the top Latino rapper on the street. We give him some money. And then everybody starts to go work. Nowadays, there isn't that farm club anymore, that place to go where you can see Felipe Esparza, you can see, you know, Hannibal Buress. You know, it's, you know, everybody's working. But where's that campground, that, you know, that
nucleus?
That nucleus. It's almost like a baseball team that has a minor league system, right? Where do you go? Now, you know, the internet has opened it up and it's taken everybody out to do their own thing and create your own movement, but there's not a communal movement anymore.
We had a comedian who said that, Jimmy Schubert. He said, you know, when I was doing stand-up comedy, I would see Sam Kinison over there. I would see Arsenio. Every once in a while, Eddie Murphy might creep, you know, to the sides. But there's nothing now. The comedy owners are not nurturing the next generation.
That's right.
They're not building a crew of the next people because everybody's blowing up. Because everybody could go on YouTube now.
Yeah, everybody's an Instagram comedian.
Yeah.
Like, you see these dudes, they're like 500,000. Somebody just tagged me like, oh, you should have him on your podcast. Like, who are you? He has 500,000 followers. And, like, what do you do? He makes these stupid little, like, memes and this, like, little 15-second comedy. I'm like, could you actually do 5 minutes? Like, you have all these guys that you mentioned the record labels coming and finding you.
Yeah.
They don't go anymore. I have friends who do that.
Oh, no, the A&R is no longer.
They just go on YouTube all day long.
The record companies took away the A&R, and that was the person who in charge of artist relations and development. And once that happened, the breakdown, it really just clusterfucked it all up. And nowadays with the computer, you know, any little dude can wake up and Bieber. Go, I want to rap like that dude, and, you know. And next thing you know, he's got a little beat cracking on the machine on his laptop.
So many things with
a
Mac.
And he's an artist. He's an artist.
Like nothing,
but
man.
There's a lot of artists, 1 million, 2 million artists, but there's only several entertainers. Are you an entertainer, motherfucker?
Can you put on a show for an hour?
Can you put on a show for 30 minutes, an hour? Yes, exactly. Because when you go from here to France or Spain, you can't just be on stage for 15 minutes, bro. They'll fuck you up. You came all this way from the United States for 15 minutes? Oh, hell, I start throwing quarters and fucking. No, serio. And they'll fuck you up.
Have that one.
So, you were performing in Europe, man?
Yeah.
What was that
Felipe,
like?
Worldwide, dog.
Think about it like this. I was the ambassador for Latinos, even to other Latino countries that were, I don't want to say racist as fuck.
Argentina?
But they weren't having, they didn't like hip hop. They were like, esa fucking.
Esa pinche música de negros.
De negros.
Esos morenos.
Yes. And I had to go through that and had to break that down. So
like,
when
I'm
presented.
Cuban. Like, damn it.
Well, it wasn't so much that I was Cuban. It was just the fact that I spoke Spanish, and I brought it to them in their language, and they were we were able to break down those barriers of resistance, if you will, through those times. It was pretty much just being an ambassador for hip hop at that time, because we were breaking a lot of ground, you know.
Did you do your Asia?
No, never been. Okay, never been. There wasn't too many Mexicans in Asia at that time.
How about Japan?
And they weren't even up on it like that they are now. You know, it's all
now Japan. They're all up in it.
Yeah.
I figure the Marine bases will find you. Come on.
You must have been hit up, like, when you were blowing up, like, offers to do every single available show, huh?
Bro, Don Francisco, Sábado Gigante, to Good Morning LA.
Siempre, you know? Domingo.
Siempre en Domingo to Arsenio Hall.
You did, you know,
we were doing both markets at the same time. But
special appearances after those shows was huge, huh?
Absolutely.
Like, you must have worked with that guy Gilbert, I think his name is, from Lowrider.
Yeah.
He used to book
shows. Absolutely, yeah.
He booked me for a show to do comedy. And I was like, you sure, bro? Like, this is a Lowrider show. I said, I was doing the Raider for comedy. And I was there with him. I opened up for E-40. And I said, they're going to like me. And I said, okay. So the first joke I said was, you know what? There was a lot of cops there too, right? I said, there's a lot of beautiful cars there, but there's only a couple of cars I didn't like. The black and white ones over there, all right. Dude, that got everybody rolling. I said, okay, this fool's crazy.
Yeah. So you would do the comedy for a Lowrider show?
Yeah.
You've been nuts, though. You've been nuts. You've been one of the comics I've always watched over the years. You know it. I don't fake the funk on that. And we built a friendship based off of me coming to see you guys' shows, man. So
I'm glad we hooked up again.
Hell yeah.
Your son over there.
Wait, so you would do Lowrider show afterward, like what, like around 5, 6 o'clock or what?
Yeah. They usually be
after
on.
They've been drinking all day?
Dude, it's cool. I'll tell you, bro. There's a big Lowrider show in Fresno.
They're all over.
It don't matter, bro, but Fresno, it's 120 degrees when they have that one there.
Oh, yeah. The vinyl melts on your turntable.
Yeah, man. Remember that one time I went to my, my dad sent me to go get fucking lemonade, bro, while Evel Knievel was about to go on. I wanted to kill that motherfucker. I see you sending me to get sodas right now. I'm here to watch Evel Knievel. Venga la soda, cabrón! Fucking wanted to get sodas, bro. I fucking spilled some lady spilled my soda on my face, and I missed fucking Evel Knievel.
Nah. Real shit?
Real shit, damn. Dog. So, right, man, we have Mellow Man Nays right now.
I just got deep right now.
No, because I remember.
Evil. Those are the events, bro. It's that hot. And there's kids there, man. And then, like, I'm trying to do a joke about boobs, but there's a lady breastfeeding right there. I'm like, where am I next or what?
Because my brother took me to the.
What's the toughest show you ever worked?
It's crazy.
The toughest show, man. I would have to say my first time in New York.
Oh, yeah?
First time in New York. Because everybody knew I was a Cuban, but I was a Cuban from L.A.
Yeah.
And so they come and they just stood there like,
then,
we from New York. You can't teach us shit, you know? They just standing there like that. So what I decided to do was I told Julio G, who was my DJ at that time, I told him backstage, I said, man, this shit look crazy out here. I said, look, pull out that Wild Style record with Double Trouble talking about New York City. Can I shoot my gun? Can I shoot my gun? Right? He pulls it out, goes out to the turntable. Crowd goes fucking bananas. I had him in the palm of my hand after that. Because we came in with a New York thing. Like, we touching you on your own field with your own shit. Now we just gonna rock it. You know? And so we hit him with the Mas Bingong and the River Cubano and the Mentirosa and all that shit. You know? It was a wrap. But they were tough. They were hardcore.
Did that West Coast, East Coast beef, did that affect your career? Like, were they, did that, like, oh, man, Mellow Man Nays from California, too, man.
It affected everybody's career, I think, you know, for that moment.
Because you were, like, neutral, right? And all of a sudden, like, what do I got to get involved? Did you feel like that?
No. I mean, that was two other niggas' shit. It wasn't ours. For the rest of us, we were all looking at each other like, that's still my homeboy. Like, Homeboy from Naughty by Nature. That's my that's my bro.
He's done shows, though.
Guys from Tribe Called Quest. Those are still my motherfuckers. Whatever y'all two got going on. But see, that's how the media portrayed it. And we all, a lot of fans fell into that whole hype. Like, let's destroy the culture by putting everybody in the pot. But the rest of us were like, nah, motherfucker, don't throw us in their shit. Because that's my bro, and that's my bro, and that's how we treated it. So we were able to heal the culture after what the media was trying to destroy it about. You know what I mean?
Man.
It was heavy.
Crazy, dude.
It was
heavy. How did you stay out of that, though?
You just stay out. It's two dudes beeping.
Because everybody always has, they're going to ask you an opinion on it. They're going to ask you this. You're going to do that.
Bro, I mean, it was two men arguing. It was their beef. The rest of us were just onlookers.
That's how we felt over here, man. when Joe Rogan and Carlos Mencia were beefing. And I'm like, okay, let them fight. I'll take their gigs. While
exactly.
Who books what?
Yeah.
Hey, how did an executive deal with you? Record executive? Because you were something
that's
different.
That's a great question. Yeah, you know, we heard a lot of
they give them the key to the kingdom, bro. Yeah.
But here you go. Here's a spot. Here's a show.
No. They wasn't having it. Even at Solar Records back in the day, you know, you had Casablanca Records and Chocolate City Records. They just slammed the door. You know, it took, and I got to give them props. It took two Jews, man, from Santa Monica, man, to see the vision. You know, Matt Dyke and Michael Ross. To this day, I'm still friends with them. And my son, Kazal, ended up getting a deal with them over there 3 years ago. You know, the power of staying in good relationships with people and shit like that. So
they were shopping you all over the place, and everybody kept saying no?
I was shopping myself.
Oh, okay. Then what'd they do for you?
They were the first ones to sign me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're the ones, you know, when I started rapping in Spanish, and they were like, come back tomorrow.
Oh, okay,
you know?
Those guys.
Yeah.
But everybody's telling you, see, when you're going with this, in my career, it's always like, you should do TV in Spanish. I'm like, I don't speak the way those guys do. I don't speak Univision.
Yeah.
Like, how come I can't do stuff in English? But did people ever tell you pick one language or the other one?
No, never. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think the great Greg Mack, a West Coast legend, was the first person other than a Latino DJ to, and he was black, to put an all Spanish record on an all predominantly black listening station. 1580 K-Day when it was on AM.
It was?
Yes. It was on AM.
You didn't know that, bro?
No, man.
Yeah.
You didn't now know you that? Know.
You guys are dating you know, yourself.
You listen to the fucking Uncle Jam's Army?
No.
Hey. Hey.
I'm in my 30s. No.
He was busy bro. Listening to Green Day.
K-Day. They had
I knew it was K-Day. Tupac rapped about it.
Bro, they're the best sports cutter. What's real?
Yeah.
The guy who did the sports cut for K-Day, he used to go... Switch reels.
Yeah.
Dodgers win. Five and a four.
Because he'll switch reels.
And then he'll go to the Lakers.
He'll like, switch reels.
Yeah,
like,
they were telling
switch reels.
Telling basically the engineer.
Yeah, the board ops.
Okay, I didn't know that back then. I thought that was just a tagline. Like,
I've only heard it. Switch reels. So he was saying the on the air switch reels.
Switch reels.
Giving
yeah.
directions.
It was Uncle Jam's Army, bro.
Oh, man.
Live broadcast.
The first time I heard Rock Berry.
Yeah.
Rockberry.
Yeah, they used to have live broadcasts on the air.
And that was on AM? Ding,
ding, ding, on AM station.
Nobody wanted an FM, huh? Ding, ding,
ding, ding, that was before ding. FM even gave hip-hop a shot.
That's before anybody even knew what hip-hop was really on
Dude,
the West Coast,
KD was
too.
The only hip-hop station, period. That and KGFJ every once in a while. But that one rap, but that it had to be a top 40, like Blondie.
That's right.
I go around KJFJ. Killing cars.
Car killer. What was his name? J.J. Jefferson or J.J. Johnson?
J.J. Johnson.
Orale. Yeah.
Remember it's crazy.
Bobby Jimmy.
Bobby Jimmy and the Critics.
Damn roaches. Keep kicking no more.
Yeah.
That was like Chingo Bling.
Damn.
The Chingo Bling.
Yeah, that was Bobby, Bobby Jimmy, man. Look at all these roaches. I can take it.
Or even like before Weird Al Yankovic,
Weird Al Yankovic
came out, Bobby Jimmy was already doing that type of stuff.
Yeah, and another way.
Da ha, da ha.
I knew you were going to say that.
Ha, 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 ha. Back in the days when in Vietnam, I was 19.
KDA, plug, 1580
KDAY, bro.
Used to get a 4 share in the ratings. They dominated.
What does that mean?
It means that's like they were probably one of the number one stations in the LA at that
oh,
time.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, bro. I didn't want nothing.
Shalom. Remember, this was the only place you could get hip-hop.
This is the only place where Kid MC was still raps.
There was no computers. There was no internet. There was no apps. It was that one radio station.
They used to battle on the phone, bro.
What?
Used to call in and go, okay, man, we got MC Lucius here from Carson. He's about to battle Kid MC from Boyle Heights.
No.
Here's the beat.
Yes.
Here's the beat. Kid MC, suck my ass, you know? And then you battle the rapper on the phone.
Yeah.
No. I'm telling you, man. Motherfuckers, you get dissed, man, if I find out where you live, man. I'm a fuck. And then these guys will battle, bro. First ever rap battle over the phone.
Crazy.
DJ man, Hayes the Hamburger believe. Helper.
Yeah.
Eddie LaFleur.
He was good.
Eddie, man.
Uncle Jam's Army, bro.
Shout out to Hamburger Helper. He is now... DJ Zulu King Hayes.
All right, man. I thought you were going to say, well, shout out to Hamburger Helper. He's actually serving hamburgers. Nah, I'm glad he's good,
he's a lifer for real. He's a good dude.
See, when I used to listen to K-Day, that's when I tell people that I wanted to rap. But I used to write a little shitty rhymes. And I tell this story because I told this girl. You're already laughing, Nate. I told her I wanted to rap. And this chick, whoops, your rap name, man, my rap name will be Kid MC. And then this bitch made me a sweater that says Kid MC on it. I was embarrassed, man.
Made you a sweater?
I never battled nobody.
You already had a fan
club. All my
rounds
I stole from fucking, what's the name, man? Oh, man, there used to be the Frankenstein rap or something. He had like a Franken rap ream.
Yeah, that was Dr. No, not Dr.
Dr.
It was,
Stein or something like that. He was a local rapper.
Rappenstein.
Rappenstein. I got a lucky foot of rice. See, I know him well. They're not really for show and tell.
Yeah. Rappenstein. Yeah. Well, I came here from Dallas, Jack, good law. And he used to throw his throw his voice.
Transylvania rap.
Yeah, Transylvania rap.
This was called Cracklevania.
This is all when rappers had characters, bro. Like fucking that guy with a patch.
Yeah. Slick Rick.
Slick Rick.
Yes.
With the ruler.
Here we go.
Yeah. That was even just a little before. Yeah, around that same time. 86, 84, 85.
Man, I was born too late.
Golden time frame for
hip-hop. You don't know, bro.
I don't know.
You don't know about fools like freaking Cha Ali, bro. What you know about Cha Ali?
Why'd you guys say
Cha Ali?
Cha Ali.
You don't know anything.
He just got out of prison, bro. 4 years ago.
That's right. Yeah.
Why'd you shake, though, when you said his name?
Because I was shy, bro. It's Cha Ali. That fool had a cool little...
He was just a little kid getting it.
Little 16-year-old kid, Cha Ali. Then he got locked
up. He had the Roadrunner roller.
Yeah.
Where would you hear Road Runner. Where would you hear them?
On fucking The Box, fool.
On The Box, you see the videos after.
What's The Box?
You
know?
Video 21. was
Video Jukebox was the hottest and the only place you can get videos.
Like, everybody's like, oh, I'm like,
that's but the thing is, here's the thing. You could call from your mom's phone and order the video that you wanted to see.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like pay-per-view?
It was all day long.
Wow.
And it cost you like $4 or something like that.
That phone bill must have been.
Yeah, a lot of people's shit was.
It's like the party line.
I used to record all those videos on VHS, bro.
Yeah?
I could hear them whenever I want.
Damn, I didn't even think of that.
I had a VCR and I'd be like, oh, yeah.
Used to do that shit too.
Switch the reels. Wow.
Switch reels. Switch reels. The Box, fool. Wow.
B-O-X.
That's the old, besides that, see, if you didn't have cable, you had The Box. And you had Richard Blaze with Video 21.
Yeah.
What? Wasn't
he on Channel 56 too?
Yeah, that was 22.
Damn.
Video 21.
Richard Blaze.
That's like
Solid Gold type years.
Solid Gold type years.
Fuck. Before the Wolfman, you know?
Damn. Richard Blaze. Before Bobby started imitating the Wolfman voice.
Yeah, remember that? You had Wolfman Jack.
They got Bill Run Bobby doing
that was before
Jack
my time.
Boys.
That was before my time. Yeah. But those fools were putting it down.
Rodrigo's time, right?
Yeah, man. I was going to say that, but what you did, though, as far as with your music and it blowing up, that finally gave the stamp of Latino because nobody was saying Latino before
you
that.
You know what?
Right?
Nobody was proud to say Latino.
Hell no. Nah.
Nobody.
Nobody. Only TV announcers were proud because they may go like this. Back to Raul Escobar. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
The only ones that were proud to be Latinos back in the day were reporters. You worked for CBS, you pronounced your name right.
And they were using their husband's last name.
Yeah.
They weren't using the real name.
Like the white lady would go like, we're going to go back to Joe Carnales here in
Carnales.
This is Joe Carnales.
Cabrón. He would check him. Yeah, he would
check him.
Tight.
Johnny Canales.
That was another guy, Johnny Chingas.
Johnny Canales.
Johnny Chingas, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. Had a show, a TV show, little commercial show with bands and shit.
Yeah, Johnny Cana, he was in, he had Selena in Corpus Christi. Johnny Cana, you got it. Take it away. That guy.
Man, let's switch to the ladies, bro.
Because
I remember Paul Gonzalez, 1984 gold medalist from my neighborhood.
Yeah. Are you from your neighborhood?
Fuck yeah, bro. That fool, before he was a boxer, bro, he used to fucking punch heroin addicts. Anyways.
That was his heavy bag?
No, he was like a lightweight, light featherweight guy. He won a gold medal in 84.
Yeah.
That fool said when he went to my high school to talk, and that fool said that now, man, that as soon as he became the gold medalist, women were throwing out at him cocaine. He said that Heather Locklear went to his room, bro, and he turned her down. Let me tell you, man. Shit. I used to make out to that poster, okay?
The Heather Locklear Hooker?
Poster. I used to wake up with fucking paper cuts on my body, bro. From me cuddling with that poster. I had a paper cut on my penis, bro. I was like Peter Griffin and Kathy
You're
Ireland.
You're a fucking fool.
It is masochista,
I'm sorry, bro. Back then, you guys don't know, man.
Farrah Fawcett one. That's the one I caught wreck on. Yeah, my sister had it. Didn't last very long.
That little nipple right there. I want that shit at a fucking a carnival. Just throw a dart at it. Man, man, he died. He could remember those. How can you remember those carnivals? Did you ever perform at carnivals in the beginning?
We did a lot of,
the church ones?
No. Never did a church carnival. Just, you know, the carnival circuit came before all the other tours did, actually. They put us on, like, even after when Kid Frost came out, they put us on, like, a 50 carnival thing, you know. Jeez. We'd go out all over the country and do all that stuff. So, they really helped in getting what we were doing out, you know, to a bigger audience.
Well, LA County Fair, you did that one?
Yeah.
Man, they have some good shows there.
Yeah.
Man, did you ever get to witness those big-ass shows they used to do at Belvedere Park for Cinco de Mayo or Mexican Independence Day? Back in the days when Paul G used to perform in Belvedere Park?
Belvedere Park. That was before I owned a car.
Yeah.
So, no. We used to walk as far as we can go. So, to get it to Belvedere Park, we couldn't.
That's too many buses.
We didn't have bus money.
You would have to catch a 266 and get off in the Atlantic and then catch a 31 too far.
Yeah.
Take Roseville. <Yeah.
laughs> Who knows bus schedules, bro? Hey, bro, I'll never forget where it came from, bro. You know, things fail, man. I know they catch a bus.
I have no clue. No clue.
So what's up, Rodrigo, man?
Chilling, baby.
Rodrigo right here, man, he's a big fan of Pendleton's.
Oh, hell yeah. Always.
That's what's up. Did you shop at that big Pendleton place, too, in Southgate?
Greenspans?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
They have your picture up there and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Greenspans.
Greenspans.
Yeah. I've known it since the old man was over there, you know, 30 years ago. When the golf hats, remember when
Fools were pop-lock? Oh, shit.
With the golf hats and the fucking T.I. sweatsuit?
The golf
hats. Boom, and come out fucking it up.
Back then, bro, if you were a Crip or you live in the hood, you had a corduroy golf hat. And in the middle of the golf hat was two little metal golf hats, little golf clubs crisscrossing, a little ball in the middle.
That's right.
And that shit was gangster.
Legit.
Yeah. A golf
that was gangster.
That
was
actually clean,
and it was creased. And it looked like a fucking Civil War Confederate hat. I mean, he was gangster.
Yeah.
Fools will crease that hat and make it look like a Confederate hat.
Yeah. And not even know what that means.
And before they could afford the Adidas suits, they wore the T.I. suit.
Yeah.
T.I.? It had the three fake-ass stripes.
Those three fake-ass stripes, dog. Hell yeah.
It wasn't even Adidas and shit, but it wasn't complete unless you had your Nick kickers on.
Yeah. You couldn't win one that way because the stripes will come off.
Yeah.
Times were tough, bro. Because you were tired, bro.
But you're still looking fresh, though. Right?
I couldn't rap, and I couldn't break dance for anymore because I didn't have the skills. I didn't have the body. So I was a guy that would show up at your B-boy events talking about, man, I got white gloves for sale. Anybody want white gloves? I used to fucking shoplift white gloves, bro. Magician gloves.
The popper used to love that shit.
Damn,
you had some white gloves for a popper, you were his best friend.
Hell yeah, bro. $2 a pair right now.
I got the body, dog.
I got the best, bro. I got a fucking a cardboard ready for you, bro.
Chicarton.
I used to call out fools, bro. And then they don't even know how to pop lock or nothing. But I will call them out, and they'll do their fucking moves. And I said, yeah, you good. You win, man. And then I will do my moves. I just want to see them. Then I go back to my friend, bro. I saw this new move you could do, dog.
I saw this.
I got this new move for sale.
I know a couple with guys a cardboard. Like that, man. They're like, all right, what's up? And then you do your shit, and they go,
you're good.
You're good. This is why.
You're like, good. Don't you want to smoke weed with you?
I like you more than your weed. Sorry. No.
Hey, yo.
So what happened, man? And I know you have this kid right here, man. Are you like me with kids scattered all over the world? Because people could be coming out the... Man, when I won Last Comic Standing, that my son's baby mama filed for child support the next day. She became the last hood rat standing. The last baby mama standing.
Yeah.
She fucked around and bought everybody jackets. No more money.
Damn.
Nah, man, I don't know what happened to that money.
Took you to court right away?
I don't care about that money. Yeah. But, you know, I owe that money. But I wish that child support didn't I wish bank accounts will accumulate interest just as fucking as much as child support, bro. Because I will invest in child support. What happened, bro? I just put $5,000 in child support. The next day, that shit's $15,000, bro.
Like a child support
Ponzi scheme. I'm going to invest in child support.
Like a Ponzi scheme.
It sounds funny, but it's real. It's real as fuck. And they'll never do it.
Hell no.
Because anything to help our black ass and brown asses ain't going to happen. You already know.
Because I'm telling you, man, I'm trying to hook up another Jose Rizar from District 13 to propose a law where you could pay off child support with community service.
Man.
I'll never leave that freeway.
You'll be stuck there forever.
I'll be on the 405. What's up, bro? What you doing in the 405? Bro, I got 20 more G's left, dog. I'm going to sweep this shit away to Malibu. For real, man, what does it tell you? I know you owe 50 G's in child support. How would you like to coach this little league team for a year like they're doing the movies?
In the movies?
It's actually a good idea. I like it. Yeah. I like it. I would fuck with it.
Don't coach your kids, but coach somebody else.
My dad don't owe no child support. He just owes time with us.
Skype that fool.
He owes me 80,000 hours of support. What?
Ya tú sabes, sin papa.
Yeah. I wish you could transfer your kid's child support. Imagine me, you could just transfer. Let's just say you owe child support, but then your son ends up being a deadbeat dad too. I'm sorry, man, but I know you owe child support, but they just transfer your father's child support to your account.
Like a bus transferring.
Damn. You owe $250,000. When are we going to accept that payment?
Hey, it's like inheritance.
Some ideas, dog. They might have
that shit. Take that shit to the assembly.
Go to Weezer.
I know, man. I'm trying to support a bill right now.
So, man, when
careers, man, you know, you're not so hot after a while. When you start noticing, man, I'm about to get lukewarm here.
Yeah, that happens. I believe it was, I don't know. Like you said, you got like a good 5-year run there. Right after that, I refused to sign my third album deal, which at that time was going to be $500,000. And, they wanted me to keep making Mentirosa type of records. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing it, you know? And I fell out of love with it.
Because you were hardcore. I mean, Mentirosa was just a song you did, right? You were like a real rapper, right? You were hardcore.
I was an MC, B-boy. I came up a B-boy.
You want to do rhymes like everybody else, but they want you to make you like a guy.
Well, the thing is, they presented it like this. Here's a Coca-Cola can. Coca-Cola would not dare change their color of their can now. Everybody knows it. By the same token, they would say, okay, you got to be like Coca-Cola. Don't stop rapping bilingual. Give us another record like that. I said, well, Coca-Cola doesn't have to evolve. It's not an artistic thing that grows. You know, it's just a product that people like. They didn't understand. So that had to be like the year 1994, 95. So I had the 5-year good run there. You know what I mean? And we clean sweep there. And I think all the way through the end of 1999, I was fucking fucked up. You know, I was using my tour money, spending it on cheap whores, liquor, you know, cocaine, you name it. I did it all. It was my money. I made it. I was going to spend it my way.
You were one of Kid Frost's pornos, huh?
No, fucker.
I'm just kidding.
DJ Yellow's porn.
No, I had a chance to do porn and do all that shit, but I never did it, you know?
Because, see, everybody goes through that.
Just gloss over that.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing I respect about you, that you just told us that your dark side.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a dark side, and that's... How dark was it, man? Because my shit was dark.
It was dark, bro. You know, when you don't understand what corporate America is asking you to do and you're no longer willing to play that game, the spiral that occurs is unstoppable. You can't pump the brakes on it. And trying to understand how they squeeze the lemons out of your name and brand, and then they'll tell you that you're done. But here I am, 25 years later with you, fucker.
Hell yeah.
So we're fucked those motherfuckers.
That's what's up, man.
But no, I mean, I did everything, bro. You know, I slanged my gold records. I had to go back and buy them.
So you slanged them for what?
For fucking drug money and do all kinds of stupid shit.
Wow. I just had to sell it. Fuck, bro.
Once I got back on my feet, I went back. Luckily, they still had all my shit. You know, but I did all the crummy, nasty shit you want to, you know, you can think of, you know, go down to L.A. and try to burn a drug dealer for some crack, you know, all that stuff. But I don't have a problem talking about it because I think it's only made me a better person about who I am today, you know. And at that time, I was carefree. I didn't have any kids to have to look after or anything like that. So I was going to do Mellow Man Ace the way Mellow Man Ace wanted to do him.
Were you mad at everybody or were you just say, fuck it, I'm going to party?
I was mad at my management, who at the time got me for 250 large, and I was mad at the record company.
For the loan?
My people were my peoples. Like, I've known Lily for 23 years, you know. My peoples were always my people, but, you know, I had a bitter taste about the game, the business side of it, and when they don't allow you to continue to teach them that you're still cool, that you have cool things to offer. Because you got to remember, at the time, hip-hop was changing. You had, you know, bump, skiddly, bump, skiddly, bump, skiddly, bump. All that come in. And then you had Black Sheep, engine, number 9. Right? And so you try to now change with what's going on and evolve. I should say evolve with how hip-hop is going. You had Cypress Hill. How I could just kill a man. Like, how am I going to look coming out? Hey, baby, you to. We got to step that up. We got to reinvent. And so what happened was they stopped trusting in me to keep them cool, you know. Because once they find the formula and they find your niche, they just want you to stay there, you know. But, you know, the crusty things I did, I'm not proud of them, but I'm not ashamed of them either, man. I've heard stories of people say, man, I saw you butt naked on Sunset Boulevard one day. Don't remember that. Serio, I don't remember that. But if it's true, I don't give a shit. It's my life. And if I want to walk down the street butt naked with a fucking newspaper up my ass, it's my business.
I know. You're not hurting nobody but yourself.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but again, I don't believe that story. Somebody said it, but I've done a lot of dumb shit in my life, but I don't believe that dumb.
Because I remember when I was like, did you ever do like, just say like, you're Mellow Man Ace. You're king of the world already. And but now you're at the dark side, you know, like your homie robbed you. Shit's going bad. Did you ever like see like somebody who idolized you, go, you and I, and kidnapped him and just use that motherfucker to just drive you around and, you know, party with him?
Nah. No,
I did.
No. You probably did. Nah. I had homies that, you know, I had homies I came up with that were clones of me, and I didn't notice it because I'm in my moment. But, you know, when you stop to look back at the pictures 15 years later, you go, that fucker's dressed just like me and my other extra shit that I used to, you know what I mean? And shit like that. But, you know, that was the guy that would cut my lawn and fix my car, you know, put in a spark plug, that type of shit. But I always preferred to drive myself, you know, until, you know, a couple limos here and there, but, you know.
What were some of the craziest things you bought?
A house?
Craziest things? I take crack cocaine, man.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, bro. He sold his gold record for crack, yeah, dog. Man.
Try to check. Anything else?
I didn't buy it for a tiger. Profit.
I've never bought a tiger, and I've never paid for sex.
No. Well, there you go.
Never. I've never done that.
So, Rodrigo, you never bought a tiger, huh?
No, I never paid for sex either. Sorry, dog. I let you down, eh?
Still time.
Hey, what's your relationship with Funk Dubious, dude?
Funk Dubious is a group. They're just a homies. Another group.
Oh, the Soul Assassins?
No, they wasn't always Soul Assassins. No? Soul Assassins came after all this shit. Okay. It was a great idea later. One of the members of Funk Dubious and I went to junior high and high school together.
Son Doobie?
No. Tomahawk Funk.
Oh, hell yeah.
Who's basically like an uncle to my son, you know, because we grew up together, you know. He was always part of Cypress Hill, too. But as cats were motivated, others weren't so much, things start to divide. He ends up hanging out with Ralph M and Son Doobie. And then it was DJ Mug's idea to put them together as a collective and let's go shop this, get it a deal. And I think they did a deal over at Immortal Records and did very well with the Bow Wow Wow. Yeah, but that, they're the homies, but Ralph M, Son Doobie weren't really the homies. They weren't from our block, I should say.
Okay.
They came after from like the Upper West Side, you know, maybe even like Melrose area, shit like that.
You were in not to switch sides here, but you were in a movie that introduced capoeira, huh?
Oh, man. You did your homework, fucker. Yeah, yeah,
You were a student rapper.
Yeah, yeah. That's when they were prepping me. They were prepping me already. I was starting to do film, you know.
You guys don't know the
big screen
shit. The director, screenwriter of that movie, he went on to write Bloodsport and he put another Jungle Club at that movie.
Absolutely. Sheldon Leonard,
yeah.
I believe, yeah.
You still a buddy with him?
No, I believe Sheldon's passed on
okay.
to the next, you know, phase. But he, you know, they were prepping me to do
hot. Huh? They were just throwing you movies, MTV.
Bro, I even auditioned for CB4. Remember CB4?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh!
Cell Block 4. Yeah. MC Gusto.
You should still be in movie, bro. You got the look. Shit.
Thank you, bro. You know what? For that one, I think Chris Rock just wanted to fuck my little sister.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, oh, where's your sister? You know, I'm like, fucking dick.
No sister.
Yeah,
just
man.
You.
He gave it to he gave the part to a lesser dude. I'm on top of the world. It made more sense for Mellow Man Ace to be on that role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Realistically. But I harbor no animosity. But the acting thing was fun, but rather boring, too.
Yeah.
Because remember, at that time, we didn't have all this apps and shit. You had to sit in a trailer for 8 hours, bro. Yeah, and you know Mexicans
you
and niggas don't read.
Look,
motherfuckers start picking up habits in that trailer.
Yes, yes.
You're either going to fucking be a cocaine addict, or you're going to fucking jerk off, or you're going to fucking eat all the food there.
Or you can learn, you can start watching how production is made, you know, and doing all that kind of stuff, but I didn't. But it was fun, man. I had a good time on that film, and now the funny thing about film is that now we're doing a TV show.
I'm like, that's right. Let's go back to you're on Fuse TV with your son.
Yes. The show will start airing next year. It's called The Glitch. It's a multi-platform show, you know, TV and internet. And it was just, you know, a manifestation of the last 2-3 years of us collecting content, you know, from shows, the interviews, homies, our lifestyle, the things that happened to him as he's coming up. All these things, and we bottled it, and we got green-lighted yesterday, I'm happy to say.
Hell congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you, Conan. Thank
so,
you.
Respect.
On Fuse TV, what is the show about?
The show is about me and my son.
Like a reality show?
It's a little bit of reality. It's a lot of music. My son is the music supervisor on it. I'm really happy of the shit that he's accomplishing. It's about our significant others are in there. See, my thing is, as I direct these things, and write the episodes is to involve my people, you know what I mean? And give everybody work and a little shine. And I think that's the beauty of what I do. I always try to incorporate family into it. You know what I mean? My motherfuckers are going to eat, you know what I mean? And I think it's, we just blend it all together. The music, the problem, you know, the girl, you know, whatever it is. And then we just make it, we bottle it up in a great way for you to enjoy.
That'll be on Fuse in January.
Fuse TV, third quarter to next year we launch. Start looking for the billboards. Start looking for the billboards around the city. I'm happy to say, you know, the glitch, because our organism and his father, Mellow Man Ace.
And you, how did you pitch this show? Like, for our listeners are wondering, like, hey, how did this happen, bro?
Like, your listeners like me.
Did they give you shows, dog, or what? Did you just land on?
Did you show up, right? That's all you gotta do. Just knock on the door.
It's a lot of hard work, right?
It's a lot of hard work. Like I said, it took
2 years. That's a lot of
collecting content. Footage, and then the first thing we did, we made this big 13-minute trailer, right, that made absolutely no sense. You know? And then the night before, Lily sent me like 5 links of how to actually pitch in a fucking meeting, and I already had a meeting the next day from YouTube, right? So, it, long story short, it's trial and error,
and here's 5 different ways to do it.
It's trial and error. It really is, and I think once you get a working formula, then you can start to see your vision come together. But then we had the meeting the following day. They loved it because I think we had a lot of names involved. We had Chuck D of Public Enemy, and we had guys from Tribe Called Quest and all this shit accumulated, you know, Diggable Planets and shit like that. And so they were very kind to me. They were like, Mello, we love it, but can you cut this shit down to about 5 minutes? You know what I mean? And, you know, and then we learned about an elevator pitch. And an elevator pitch is if you can't sell it in 2 minutes between the lobby and the 17th floor, you're not going to get it. Yep. And so it's important to keep your thing action-packed and moving quickly because the attention spans are very short.
You got listening out there? Stop sending me bullshit. If you can't explain it in 2 minutes, nobody's going to buy it. You heard it from Mellow Man Ace. 26 years in the business. Up and down. Up and down.
Yeah,
you see, that's hard work. You just can't email me stuff and go, Felipe, you fill in the rest. I cannot write the funny.
Spell check is good. Spell check is
also,
good.
Also, man, don't email me and say, I have a great idea. Get at me. Yeah. Tell me it. Yeah. Tell me it so I can steal it. Also, if you have a pitch idea for me, it's already written down. Like it's, you have like a script. I would suggest you copyright that shit before you give it to me.
Yes.
Because if I read it, I'm going to end up stealing it. Not by accident, not by because I want to, because I know you're not serious. And you don't have the legwork to take this to the next level. And that's the truth. That's a fact of life, people.
Teach.
Don't send me stuff unless you want it to be taken from me. Actually, I won't take it because I'm not that guy. But if this is how this is how ideas flow in Hollywood. This is some good advice I'm gonna give you one time. How do I come up with how do I get a TV deal? That's how you do it. You tell somebody in the business. He goes tell somebody, and that other person makes $1 million.
Exactly it.
That's why, people, you need to go to my webpage, FelipeWorld.com, and go through our Amazon page and buy stuff.
Yes, buy how to sell the pitch. There you go. Yeah, there's books on it.
And come to my show, goddammit.
What is your next show? You two perform live?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. I never stopped. You know what I mean? Like, we stayed active. My next show, it will be this weekend. I'll be in Chicago. Me and my son will be in Chicago fucking it up.
Speaking of Chicago, I know a guy in Chicago that I work for, who I work all the time, who said he saw you somewhere, and then he booked you. And Mikey Okendo.
Mikey O, man.
And we know the same cool
fucking
motherfuckers.
Good-ass dude, man.
Good dude, huh? Mikey O,
man. Yeah, I believe we did a comedy and music thing over there. We did 2 shows, sold them both out in 1 night.
I remember that.
It was a great time.
It was Joe's on Weed Street.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I was just there, and I was talking to him about you. You know, he goes, you know who's my first guy I ever booked? He goes, I saw him somewhere, and I walked up to you. Oh, you were at a Puerto Rican festival or something.
Cuban
festival. Yeah. In
Chicago.
It rained crazy that day.
Yeah,
too.
And he said, oh, man, it was. I didn't like the setup, man. I don't like the way they brought him up. I didn't like the sound. And I said, you know what? This place doesn't give you justice. I'm going to bring you back.
He sure did.
And he hooked it up.
He hooked it up, dog.
When he told me that story, I said, fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
We did a comedy. It was, I think it was a throwback to back in Chicago days when they used to cruise and listen to comedy or whatever it was. And he brought us in on that, and you know, we
killed it, huh?
Killed it. Two sold out shows same night.
That's Mikey O. So you're gonna be in Chicago performing?
Yeah, we'll be back in Chicago this weekend, and then we got a really big show in December with Egyptian Lover.
Egyptian Lover, baby. Ding ding ding.
Yeah, you got to come out for ding, that, ding, doggy, if you're in town.
Ding 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 ding. Egyptian Lover.
Yeah, that's December 26th.
We're there.
In Wilmington.
We're there with shrooms.
But hold 13. On. I haven't even told you who's all going to be there.
I don't care. You're going to be there. I'm going to be right there, man, with you.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, it's going to be dope, man. We're going to have a good time.
Who else is going to be there, though?
We're looking at Trinneer, Stevie B, Debbie Deb.
Debbie
Rapping
Deb.
Forte.
Lookout Weekend.
Hell yeah,
right?
Dog. Yeah. That's what's
and
up.
And Weebus? Where?
Yeah, at the...
Longshoreman Hall.
Something like that. Yeah, that's in your neck of the woods.
Debbie
yeah.
Deb, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's legit. Yeah.
I worked with Trinneer last year. We did... I didn't work with her. She was there performing at the Blood Drive for the Sons of Anarchy cast.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. She's good people, man.
And good I know showing Lisa the song. He goes, no, man, this is the jazz of the 90s. Cause my wife, she's from Dayton, Ohio, right? And then she says she used to watch Roger and Zapp walk around the streets in pimp suits. And this is Dayton, Ohio.
Sure.
And nobody was dressed like that. And then she goes, you saw Roger and Zapp from Zapp walking around the street and you didn't take a fucking photo? And she goes, no, they were just like regular guys in Dayton. No, but they were the West Coast shit, huh?
Mm-hmm. They're originally from Dayton, Ohio, the whole family. So for her, she got pictures of those times, man. That's classic.
Nah, she just had the memories.
Oh.
She was 15.
That's your wife?
Yeah.
Oh.
Producer, Lisa Esparza.
Hell yeah. All right. I love to see the family shit. Yeah. Congratulations. Congratulations.
So what's up, Fool Street? What chilling. You got? What you got coming up?
Nothing, dude. Fucking McAllen in Brownsville with you, right?
Oh, that show on Monday, though, bro.
Oh, fucking awesome, Fool.
McAllen, Texas?
Yeah, it was packed. Fucking,
they got one airplane going in and out of there. You know that.
Podcast came out. Shout out to Elizabeth Kelly, Sean Conway, Julian Torres for coming out from the What's Up Fool podcast.
Yeah, I got some tweets saying you were good.
Yeah, man.
Nobody else.
That's what he said about McAllen, down, you know, man. McAllen, bro. That airport, the first time I went there, it was the airline dates, like the flights, everything was written in fucking chalk.
Yeah.
It's like detention, eh?
Yeah.
For reals.
First time I went there 25 years ago, there was one plane in and out.
You flew it, eh?
It felt like a little kid was flying it from remote control. From the bottom.
The little ones are fun, dude.
You had a metal drone.
You feel the wind.
But a lot of love, though. You get a lot of love over there, man.
Hey, man, you got I know, that's funny, like, talking to you, Baby Bash, and Corpus Christi, and I always tell people, like, my agent goes, where should we book you at? Anywhere where these guys were at. Mellow Mayonnaise, Kid Frost, Baby Bash, wherever they were, find a smaller theater, and I'll go there.
Yakima.
That's smart. Yeah,
like, I'd be kidding, Yakima.
Yakima.
Like Yakima, Washington.
Washington, yes.
They love the shit over there.
Wow.
Man. I bet you kill it like in Bronzeville.
Boise?
Boise. I was there one time. Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii's always good.
What were your biggest market where you said, where like food came up to Mellow Madness, you need to go to our house and have dinner. You need to come over to our house. We're going to fucking have a party. We'll kill a pig for you.
San Jose.
San Jose's always shown me love, and I always tell my son that. But I think that particular question is, I would have to say Columbia.
Missouri?
No.
Oh, the country?
Columbia,
country?
The country.
Oh, hell
Bogota,
yeah,
Medellin, Cali, that shit. I mean, we're playing, 100,000 seat football stadiums there.
Big,
you know?
Bro.
Yeah?
Time. Yeah.
Wow.
Massive shit. Though.
You
massive
understand, shit. Like, American stuff is huge over there. But American with a little bit of Latino in it, it's even bigger.
Big time.
Escobar was there?
Escobar wasn't there, but the melee and the shit was. I remember before one show, I was on a tour with Air Supply.
Damn.
And they blew up an army tank right in front of the stadium. So we figured, me and my sisters who were with me, Julio G, fuck, man, we came all this way. Now they're going to cancel the fucking show, man. And the promoter comes in, you're on in 5 minutes. The fuck? They just blew up a fucking tank.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Who's my enemy?
This shit happens all the time.
You're
don't
safe
even
now.
Trip. The promoter said, this happens here all the time. That's nothing. Especially during those years where Escobar was ruling. God. So,
damn, bro. You go on the stage after just seeing a tank get blown up.
Yes.
No, I'm cool.
There's nowhere you can go.
That's they why you're an entertainer, dog.
And you better perform, worry, bro.
You better perform.
Yeah, you better
you don't
perform.
You understand. You're in a rap game, bro. You see people getting jumped outside on the way inside the club.
Yeah.
Yeah. They might have blew it up, but to them, it's recycling, dog.
It's recycling. You know what? I knew at those times, I knew I was large when people were trying to secretly tape my conversations in cabs.
Shut up, dog.
In cabs. I've never seen this shit. Southgate can't prepare you for this shit.
It's full, dog. That's 710 education.
Southgate Park is different, man. It's different.
They almost
tore
his clothes apart.
There
you go.
Yeah,
that was good. That was good. We did a Summer Jam Power 106 with Boomer Cervantes.
The Boomer Cervantes. Power 106.
Still going.
Still going.
I had the nerve, like, you know, I was testing the waters. I was trying to see how many girls I can get.
So
I go out there after my show and, you know, I don't know. 500 bitches. You know, girls, ladies, you know.
What's that like, man?
You know,
just give me one, dog.
I don't know.
Give me 10.
I almost got trampled to death that day.
Damn.
That was amazing.
The
downside is. Yeah.
Damn.
You just line them up?
What happened was I had a, you know, luckily I had a personal security guard at that time, and he jumped in the way, and he said, run, fucker, you know. And I was like, but wait, isn't one of them, you know, I could take one back.
Wow. 500. You ready for that, little homie?
Little homie.
Motherfucker had crabs on that beard, eh? That was a Joe Diaz said one time he fucking had crabs on his eyebrows, bro. That's right. How thick were those eyebrows?
The fucking blue crab.
Hey, shit.
I remember one time, dude, like, I was worried about, you know, having a disease, and so was the comedian. And we went to get a sex test right here at Glendale. And we were getting our sexual transmitted disease test, right? And then it was the first test. I got everything right. Have you had slept with multiple persons? Yes. Have you not wear a condom the last 6 months? Yes. I never got an all perfect before.
Straight shining.
Right?
Put it on the fridge.
And then, like, he gave me a sex test, right? And it was weird, like, because, like, the window was open. Like, there was a draft coming in from the outside. And he put one of my balls up and one under. And he pulled the skin back. And I'm thinking, man, I could have done all that for you. You know, and my hands are fucking warm. So, and then comes in. And then we come back to we get our test. And then we get back our results. Chlamydia. Past, you know, negative. What gonorrhea? Negative. AIDS? Negative. Pimp for life? Fact. Anyway, so he didn't say that, but same thing. Chlamydia? Negative. Gonorrhea? Negative. AIDS? Negative. What you do have a problem is you need to switch underwears. You're a big man. You shouldn't wear these weenie choker briefs. They're sucking your balls, you know. That's why you have that pain. You need to move over to boxers. So just tell them straight out, you're too fat for underwear. You need to move over to fucking hefty.
Damn.
To big boobs.
Oh, shit.
How embarrassing is that, man?
Yeah.
Am I lying?
No.
You know, it's funny, man. Like, you know, how people say that. You're not ashamed to have stuff out there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to just say a fact right now that's out there right now. New Year's Eve, 1999, this girl taped me on her, took a camera phone of me, putting my penis back, like fucking Silence of the Lamb, and I was wearing her coat, and I was going like this, big guy, little jacket, and I put my penis in the back of my balls, and I hit it, and I looked like a fat, cute woman. And Gabriel has a copy of that, and he's supposed to release it someday and expose me. Expose it, bro. Please. I'll probably get more hits.
Yeah. Go viral. Eh?
I want to go viral, dog. That'll be my sex tape.
Hell yeah. Not anything is good.
I know, man.
Bad shit is good.
What's up, but you got some fucking fever blister photo hidden somewhere?
Fever blister
photo? Okay, cold sore, goddamn it. Herpes.
I'm just watching you, imagining 1999, you dancing, big guy, little jacket.
It was her. She was big too, but her coat fit me and shit. I'm not Mellow Man Nix, bro. I don't got it.
You
like
didn't
that.
Have 500 chasing you?
I didn't have La Mentirosa. I was a mentiroso. Lying, yeah, we hang out.
Is that song about a certain girl, or you just wrote it?
It's real.
Yeah,
you know,
did she work?
Some things were, you know, names were changed to protect the guilty and shit like that. I mean, I write about what I know. Of course,
who hurt you?
Who hurt you?
Damn,
who hurt you, mijo? Wow.
I thought when I was you're young, you don't give a shit. You're like, okay, well, call up Terry, you know.
That's the problem, man. When you get cheated on when you're 20, you cry.
Not me, man. I was a pimp. If I lost one, man, I had three on deck, you know.
100.
I couldn't
Let
be like
man secret too.
I couldn't be like that, man. Like, I got three on deck. I'll be like, wow, but I lost the other one, though.
Oh, nah, man.
Emo
nah,
Felipe. My, nah.
We're short a player on the two-man team.
You got to remember at that time, nope. Man, you know, I'm 20, you know.
He's Cuban and
Southgate?
Not giving
a fuck. Cuban and Southgate, I had
Everybody,
a choice.
He's different. I mean? Different. He doesn't look Mexican. He's not a greaser or a rebel yet.
That's funny. He was a player. But you were this probably before you even rapped, huh? You were getting the ladies.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
I always had the ladies.
Yeah, man. Cause I was always, I used to run track.
I was like a man hoe, you know. I used to just,
you're a trendsetter.
You know, every club, you know what I'm saying? Baby Mellow Man Ace probably just did shit in your club, you know what I mean?
Running
from Quiet Canyon to fucking...
Whatever, the QCs.
Los
QCs.
Globos.
No, that was later.
Arena.
The Thursday, hey, though. Fucker.
Hey, I said Friday, not Thursday. Or Sunday. Whatever day it
That's
was.
That's for the girlfriend.
No, remember Fantasia and Florentine Gardens from back in the day?
I heard of it. I never got some to go there, man.
Some of those seat cushions are still, you know,
those are Fantasia downtown, too.
Yeah, that's
at
right.
At the Bonaventure. Yeah. I used to stand outside, man, by Carl's Jr. on the side of Fantasia going, man, one day I'm going to go in there. Then it closed. Or fucking, oh, you want to get old school? Did you ever go run at the CSO in Boyle Heights?
No.
That was your shit, huh? Hanging out with TMC over there. Or a fucking...
Casa
Camino Real. That was on Oak Street.
That was
Oak Washington.
That's right. That one we did used to go to a lot. They used to do a lot of those K-Day jams back over there. Hell yeah. But that was before I was really just looking at females. You know, we were just trying to get in. Trying to sneak in that motherfucker.
How about
Radiotron?
Did you go to Radiotron?
No. Radiotron. Mr. J's and
El Monte. Mr. J's and El Monte.
Drunk fan. Drunk dog. You go there for the best powder. That's it.
Skunkaville.
Skunkaville,
sure.
Man. Nothing but hot chicks with those shitty bangs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a good time.
Mr. J is the only place where you see a girl with six kids. They're all dirty, but her fucking tennis shoes are clean. They're white.
Straight up.
Straight up hood rap.
Tales from the hood.
Yeah, man. Those are some good times.
So what's up, fool? You got any more? What's up, Beto Duran?
Nothing,
where can
man.
People find your podcast?
Living the Dream is on iTunes, SoundCloud, or DuranSports.com. Check it out. It's every Monday. Eventually, Felipe is going to be a guest. Our schedules ever line up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, every Monday. And check it out. And Rodrigo, congrats on the Laugh Factory.
Oh,
like I said, you were the only one that was funny,
bro.
According to my Twitter.
Yeah, man.
You know, we know who's there.
All right, people. Tonight, Friday, November 20, I'm at Hauteville, California at Imperial Palms at Barbara Worth Resort with Pablo Francisco.
One man, one desire.
This summer. Pablo Francisco and Felipe Esparza with Marcelo Arguello. Saturday, November 21, I'll be blowing up the whistle. I'll be blowing the whistle, man. Who am I writing out? No. I'll be blowing the whistle. I'll be blowing the whistle for the LA Derby Dolls Roller Derby event in Alhambra.
What?
Go to derbydolls.com for details and ticket information. That's right, people. Woo. Girls are skates fighting. I'll be there blowing the whistle. Next week, Thanksgiving weekend, I'm in Brownsville, Texas at Jacob Brown Auditorium, Friday, November 27. No guest spots, I told you guys. Then I don't care how long you've been doing comedy. Don't even show up. Ask for a guest spot. It's too late. Then I'm going to McAllen, Texas. No guest spots for that show. At McAllen Civic Auditorium, Saturday, November 28. Me, Rodrigo Torres, and Keith Manning. Get off the field.
Get off the field.
Both shows. Also, if you're asking me for Corpus Christi, I won't be there, man, because the last time there, man, not only did the check bounce, the guy put the wrong date on it.
Damn.
That check was supposed to be for 2013. This guy put for 2014. This guy rolling about, I'm smoking a weed when I'm reading a reading the check. They didn't pay attention.
Wow.
I was like, what happened, man? Didn't you see the date on the check? Yeah, man, but there was a big-ass nug on the date.
Damn.
December 3rd to the 6th, I'll be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton. Tommy T's, your performer, Tommy T's? It's a steakhouse. I think Too Short was there, man.
Up north, right?
Yeah.
That's a Whiteville.
If you own a small business, a barber shop or somewhere that gets a lot of foot traffic, not somewhere where nobody sees a poster, I could promote your show and I'll give you free tickets or something. Fans at philippinsworld.com. Or I might give you this Mellow Man Ace t-shirt right here. And I'm keeping the other one. And we can work out a few tickets deals there, man. Or nothing like, it has to be something where there's a window, man. Like a window. Like a laundromat or something, you know. A storefront, you know. Or if you guys know a homeless guy, give him a t-shirt and tell him that I'm going to be there December 3rd to the 6th. With Rodrigo Torres and Flacco, actually.
Yeah, man.
That fool, he don't want to fly. He's driving. And Larry Bubbles Brown. Mer. What's up? Also, check out Mellow Man Ace. He's going to be in Chicago with his son.
Chi-town.
Check him out. Chi-town. And these guys are sober, so don't try to offer them anything.
Yeah.
You don't drink no more, right?
I drink. That's about the only thing I got.
You was smoking no weed other than that?
I gave that up.
All right, good, man.
Hung it up.
You?
He smokes.
You do? All right. Yeah, I got some. You know who Louis the 13 is? That guy out of downtown LA. He hooks up all the musicians on Power 106.
Louis the 13. He hooked you up?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Sorry, I lost it. All right. What's up, fool? A big thank you, man. This has been the best podcast ever. We're number 133 right now. Yeah. We're number 133 on iTunes. Just the two of us, number three.
That was good last week, just the two of us. You don't need no guest.
You think you're fucking with
Okay. We go to Rodrigo. So how was your weekend? It was good.
I mean, you know, turn around. I'll let you know.
Man, when you're talking a conversation, it's supposed to be details.
How can it be details? Like, how was your weekend? And then you turn around, dog. Come on.
Nobody watching us, bro. It's on radio. They're not seeing me turn around. Rodrigo Torres on the wheels of steel right here.
Hell yeah, dog. Real quick, I wanted to ask you, Melman Ace, do you know anything about that beat between Cypress Hill and Ice Cube and what the fuck that shit was all about?
Actually, yeah, I mean, it's been documented well on YouTube, but a brief summary is Muggs, who was going to produce a joint for Ice Cube's Predator album or something, brings Cube to the studio. He plays him some of the new Cypress Hill shit, right, that unreleased yet. And I think in one of those songs, Cypress had a song called Throw Your Set in the Air or something, right?
Your set in the air.
Like he said, you send me shit, I might take your idea. Cube comes out with Throw Your Neighborhood in the Air. Oh, yeah, Throw Your Neighborhood in the air. And then the beef ensued, you know.
God damn.
My niggas didn't like it, and they wrote a song. Cube wrote a song. I saw my brother lean heavy on Cube one day. So that it was crazy time, you know, because they came up together sort of like when Cube went solo. And, you know, he can be seen in the How I Could Just Kill a Man video in New York when they shot that. So they were cool, you know what I mean, until that thing happened. Damn. But, you know, it got ugly there for a minute, you know.
Word is born, and thank you very much for doing what you did, dog. Seriously, you laid down the motherfucking map for Latinos all over the world. Keep shining, dog.
Thank you, bro. You too, man. Congratulations. Millón de
gracias de tenerte aquí en este programa. ¿Me entiende, coño?
Gracias, mi negro.
Así se hace. Bro, that's what's happening here with Mellow Man Ace. We got Beto Duran, the manager, the kid, the girl on the side. Who the fuck knows? It's Silent Bob and Felipe Esparza. We're out. Keep fucking listening. Spread the word. What's up, full podcast 133. We're shining like a fucking ruby.
Because I'm Jace Gandolfini, bro, promoting him in Chicago.
Absolutely. Now we got Mellow Man Ace, his son. They're going to be over there in Chicago doing their fucking thing. We want all the Cubans, all the Latinos, all the people from fucking Chi-Town to go watch his brother go over there and get down. Con la lengua, man. That knows that. Exactly. That's why y'all get the fuck out of here. That's it. I'm done.
What's up, fool? Man, hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. I'm kind of nervous being in front of Mellow Man Ace on this podcast. Like,
why, dog?
Because I don't want him to look at me and go, man, this motherfucker just ask you a question like every other DJ. Like, yeah, man. So, man, you were on So, you're from the Latin movement.
Latin movement.
No, but when people don't know shit, they go like this. So, you were part of the Latino underground, right?
Wow.
Cuando llego a la casa, esto es lo que pasa. Empiezo a gozar con toda la raza en el micrófono. Yo digo el cotorreo, soy el mejor y esto es lo que creo. El apellido es Reyes, no somos magos. Somos los buenos, no podemos ser los malos. Me gusta hablar, me gusta jugar, me gusta singar y me gusta cantar. Pero si canto una canción, no va a ser suave, va a estar dura y esto tú lo sabes. Yo soy el mejor debajo del sol, controlando el micrófono en español. Si te levantas en la mañana y no estoy ahí, eso es porque ya me fui. Pero si tienes hambre, cómete un mango. Mira que apesta, tómate un baño. Digo lo que digo y es de corazón. Nadie me gana porque soy el más pingón.